Hello, and thank you for joining us on Weekend Warriors Hockey, the official podcast of the Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy. I'm Austin Holthouse, and co-hosting with me are Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy founder, Rick Parisi, and Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy head coach, Rob Boyle. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you may get your podcasts. You can also listen to us on our website, weekendwarriorshockey.buzzsprout.com. So now we want to talk, we've hit senior versus intermediate. We've hit cost and length and flex. And again, we'll keep talking about those. And now we're going to move into lie. So what is lie? Lie of a hockey stick is how the blade is angled with relation to the shaft of the stick. So while you're playing, it's important that the bottom of the blade lies as flat as possible on the surface that correlates to your height and your skating style. A higher lie is better for taller players or players who maybe skate more upright. Beginners tend to skate more upright. If you have a low lie or you're picking a stick with a low lie, it's going to be better for shorter players or players who skate lower or have a forward pitch. I'm going to let Rob talk a little bit about the numbering system with lie and then how it will impact everything else you do with regards to lie of a stick.
I'll say this. I don't think it's as important as some of the other stuff, if I'm being completely honest. I think that, you know, your lie is going to be anywhere. You know, when I was growing up, it was 5 to 7. Now it's 4 to 7. And what you don't see a lot on sticks today. And again, I'll preface this by saying I haven't bought a stick and I can't tell you how long. I've been very lucky in my life that way. But it used to have right on there, it used to say lie 5, lie 6, lie 7. And you had to find what worked, again, what worked best for you based on all those things that you had said. How do I skate? What's my length? Because the length of your stick can also determine your lie. So if you use a longer stick and you're a shorter person, you might want to have a different lie on your stick. So there's a lot of factors that go into it. Basically what you want to have, as much blade on the ice as possible at all times. And so one of the tests they used to do is you would stand up straight, which never made any sense to me. And try to keep your hands at your side, put your stick down and see where the blade ended up. But it made no sense to me. But the new thing is, you know, kind of stand in your skating stance and how you think you skate and hold the stick, how you would normally hold the stick and see where the blade ends up. I think the factor is you have as much blade on the ice as possible at all times while you're skating.
Right. And it's really hard to do when you're in a store and you're buying your first stick ever.
Absolutely.
You really have to play with one to figure out what your lie might be.
A lot of sticks don't have lies on them anymore. And so if you need a little help, ask your pro shop guy, because they should be able to tell you. Like I said, it's been a while since I even looked at this, but I can't remember. I didn't pay attention to it all that much. But I'll tell you, I did use a 6. I know I used a 6 when I was playing, because that's what was on the stick and it's what I preferred. It's how I skated and it worked best for me. So I will say something. I mean, you should always have, when you're skating, you're always going to have that forward pitch no matter what. It's how do you hold your hands and how low are you getting and so on and so forth. But again, if you're someone that likes to use a longer stick and you're a shorter person, you're probably going to have a different lie than someone who likes to use a shorter stick. So you gotta take all those factors into account.
To me, the simplest thing, it's so hard to, you know, either do it in a store or even stand there on the ice, because you could pretend like you know how you play, right? You say, this is my position, this is how I stand. Just do this. Take your stick, put a fresh roll of tape, you know, fresh tape on it, and then play a game and look at your stick at the end of the game. Where is it worn? Is it worn at the heel? That, you know, is it worn at the toe or is it worn in the middle? If it's worn evenly all over, you probably have the right lie. If it's only worn at the heel and the tape at the front looks fresh, then you got to adjust your lie. Again, like Rob says, I'm not sure if the number's up or down, but you basically want a greater angle so that more blade is in contact with the ice. But that's just the easiest way to check it.
Yeah, the only thing I would say to that, Rick, though, too, is that depending on, we're going to get into curves here in a second. If you have a certain curve, you're going to wear it out in a certain spot. So you got to be aware of that as well. So
I think modern manufacturers, don't quote me on this, you know, do some research, but I believe modern manufacturers with their stick curves usually only come with one lie. So if there's a certain curve you like, you might be stuck with that lie, but don't quote me on that.
Yeah, that's why I think lie is less important now than it used to be. And that's why, you know, when we get to the curve discussion, you know, I think that will, you know, I think we're that's more important.
Awesome. So lie is definitely something to think about. Okay. So next is one that's, again, it's a little bit lower on this list because it might not be that important to some people. I like this aspect of a hockey stick, and that's the kick point. So the kick point is tied to length. The kick point is, in a composite stick especially, it's associated with the flex and the style of play that you're going to bring. So it's basically the area of the stick that's going to flex the most. So there's generally three types of kick points, and they do cater to different types of players. There's a low, a mid, and there's also now a hybrid kind of kick point that, depending on what kind of shot you're taking, it's between a low and a mid. So or a customized kick point, which is where you get to decide what it is as a player. So a low kick point is generally going to be good for somebody who's trying to get off quick shots. If you're winding up for slap shots, you're a defenseman, and that's what you do is take a lot of slap shots, the low kick point might not be the stick for you because it doesn't flex at the right spot in the stick. You may want a mid kick point if you're going to do a power type shot. This is a big feel kind of aspect of a stick. So again, you have a low, a mid, and sometimes a hybrid. Some of the ones, like I just got a Warrior stick that kind of claims it as a between a mid and a low, depending on what you're taking. We'll see. I haven't even got to play with it yet. So any thoughts on kick point?
Well, again, I think it comes down to preference. I don't think a lot of people pay attention to it as much as they would the curve or the length, especially for someone just starting out, right? If you're just starting out, I would probably go with a mid. And I say that because you just don't know what type of player you are yet, right? So it's if I was a just starting out, go in, ask your pro shop guy, you know, I'm just starting out. What do you suggest? You know, I want this flex. I want a mid kick point. What do you have for me? And they should be able to help you out with regards to that. I mean, like you said, a low kick point is going to be a little closer to the bottom. A midpoint will be a little closer to the middle. And how do you shoot? What type of shot? I think you hit the nail on the head there, Austin, with all the factors that come into it, how you might want to select a kick point. But again, I don't think it's a huge factor for beginning adult league players. But again, if I was starting, I would probably go with a mid to get started.
I don't have any opinion on kick points. I think we've already talked about this. I'm not good enough to worry about where. But and when you get a good stick, like $150, $200 stick for $40, you can't be that picky. So I worry about curve. I worry about flex, and I take whatever kick point I've got.
And that's what I said. I think most adult league players are going in are looking for those things more opposed to the kick point, but. Again, it's something that now you can ask. So if you're listening to the podcast and our listeners are kind of like, oh, okay, I never thought about that before. I mean, it's great information to have, and there's lots of information. Yeah. You could probably go online and check it out.
Absolutely. Google kick points and you'll find, so for instance, I'll throw CCM. It's not because I play with CCMs or anything like that. It's not an endorsement, but one of the things to think about when you're buying a stick, the line of stick with the brand you are buying oftentimes has the same kick point. So if you're going to buy a CCM super taxed stick, that's considered a higher kick point. If you buy a Jet Speed, that's in between of a kick point, kind of a hybrid. And a Rib Core is going to be a lower kick point. So again, within stick brands in those models, you're going to get the same kick point in all the Rib Core models and all the Jet Speed models and all the super tax models. So with Bowers, they say in their Supreme line, it's a high kick point. And they'll tell you what kind of player they think it's best for. So definitely do your research. This is really only a jumping off point, but it is very much individual preference on what you do. So again, I do believe a lot in the technology. I do notice a difference when I use a low kick point versus a mid or a high kick point for the type of player I am. So, but it took me many years to figure that out. So, and I do spend a little bit more than $40 on a stick, but I don't go crazy. So. All right. So let's move in kind of into the last factor here, which can be probably for some people, the hardest one to figure out, and that's curve. So the curve on your stick, three factors go into that, which is curve type, curve depth, and face angle. So the curve types, you have a toe curve, which is the most of the curve is on the top third of the blade or further away from you. That's generally designed for someone who's a shooter. A mid curve is predominantly, the curve's going to be in the middle of the blade. That's a really good all around curve. And then a heel curve is the most obvious part of the curve is going to be in the last third of the blade. Defensemen often prefer a heel curve. Then you have curve depth, which is how deep the or shallow the curve is on the stick. If you've ever heard of somebody who has like a banana curve, if anybody's ever heard that, that means it has a huge deep curve. And there are actually rules against it in most types of professional hockey. So take a look at, you know, Google pictures of like Alex Ovechkin's toe curve. It's pretty crazy. Then you have face angle or openness, and that has to do with how closed or open that blade actually is. That will help you a lot. If you have a really open face on your blade, it's going to help you elevate the puck.
Yeah, but that's also based on curve as well, though, Austin. I'll say so. Like a heel curve will be a little bit more open, a mid curve will be less, and then a toe curve would be even less than that. So, when you're talking about depth or angles like that, it's going to be based on one of those three things. One of the other things I'll mention too is you know, sometimes you look at the player's stick, especially at the pro level, they have bends as opposed to curves. And then the other thing we haven't mentioned is a straight stick or a straighter stick. Which a guy like Sidney Crosby uses actually a bit more of a straighter stick. So I know it's difficult sometimes, and I don't know if I would ever go back to a straight stick. I remember having them as a kid, but I don't. It would be interesting to maybe getting off topic here. I find it might be interesting to go back to a straight stick to see how my game would change a little bit, and I don't know how that would be, but there should be that option as well for adults out there, especially starting out.
Yeah, that would be a cool evolution in sticks if we could adjust our curves and play with them. Like when we were kids, and I'm sure Rob had this, when we played street hockey, you had like a Mylek plastic, you know, that you would heat over like the stove burner, and you could make whatever curve you wanted.
You get the ones that and, step on and make your curve.
Yeah. You step on it. Yeah. Yeah. I remember Tommy Camizzi used to play with the wicked banana curve on his stick.
Yeah. So one of the things with curve that you have to think about is manufacturers have contracts with players, and you'll hear, you know, Crosby curve, you'll hear Kane is a popular curve, and they all have numbers with them. If you're interested in the curve of your stick and you're really worried about it, definitely go check out some stuff online with it, because the three of us are not going to be able to tell you what curve to get, what depth of curve, and what face angle you want to do. So there is a place called thestickguru.com, and they do a great comparison of all the different manufacturers. And they also will give you, okay, if I'm going to buy a Warrior with this curve, how does that equate to a CCM, to a Bauer, to a True? So that way, if you're switching manufacturers, you can go, all right, I want to get a, you know, this curve, cause I really liked it on my Warrior stick, but I'm getting a CCM. So I think we could spend all day figuring out what the best curve is for different players.
Yeah.
But it is definitely an important part of your hockey stick.
I'm going to add something to that too. So if you go into a store and you see Crosby, Kane, McDavid or whatever, those are not, and I just want to make this clear, those are not curves that those players use. It's just a way to identify a pattern. And so, patterns, yeah. And I'll speak to CCM. I know, I think they have like a PP29, a PP28, PP27, and they'll, each of those will have their names on, like a player's name on it, but it just really refers to the type of curve, or model stick that you're getting. So don't get caught up in the name of your favorite player being on the stick, because it's just a way to identify a model is all it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And what I was going to say is just, you know, if you're starting out, you know, maybe just start off with something like kind of a mid curve, you know, no face angle, just kind of nothing crazy, because realize that it's not just the shooting. You're trying to stick handle with this thing. You're trying to catch passes and give passes. So just start out with something and then experiment, you know, and then if you do want to experiment, once you've been playing a while, again, you know, borrow somebody's stick. Or try something different. If you know, if it's in your budget, fine, go out and buy a stick with a different, you know, different face angle or different curve and try it out. But it's not something you're going to be able to tell very much in a store.
Yeah.
It's something you need to play with. So borrow a friend's. You got 13 other guys on your team. you know, half of them in theory are either right-handed or left-handed. So you should be able to borrow somebody's stick and try it out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely recommend keep it simple at the beginning. If you're just buying a new stick, Rick, spot on, try a mid curve. It's the most popular curve. Large percentage of the curves out there are just variations of a mid curve.
What do you use, Austin?
I use a mid curve, but it's got a little bit of an open face. It's a W03 across, I think it's actually a Crosby in CCM. So it's a mid curve with a little bit of an open face.
What do you use, Rick?
I use whatever costs $40.
$40.
I always get a mid. I don't get anything crazy. I get a mid. It's a mid curve of some kind, you know. Hey, if there's any representatives from, you know, any of the major companies that want to, you know, have donate some sticks for, you know, to Weekend Warriors to see if we can, you know, promote them, we'd be happy to try them out for you.
Yeah. I may try to contact some people and say, hey, I run a podcast. Give me some sticks to try out. So, okay. So that kind of, for everybody listening, that kind of wraps up everything with the stick specifically. So we've hit cost, length, flex, lie, kick point, and curve. It's a lot to think about. It is overwhelming if you're buying your first new stick and you're going to spend 70, 80, 100 bucks or more on it. So really do your research on it. And if you can, please, please, please try one out or multiple ones out before you buy something. So there are some options for you to keep prices down. You can do the Rick model, which is find the cheapest stick. That doesn't matter what the flex is, what the curve is.
No, the flex matters. The flex matters. No. The flex absolutely matters. Yeah.
You got to get the flex right. Everything else, who cares? But seriously, stick manufacturers generally make new lines every year. If you can get a stick from last year's model or even a clearance from 2 years ago, you might be able to get $150, $180 stick for half off if you're lucky.
Yeah. So I'll put this out there for people. So most pro shops or stores will do their orders in January. And so a lot of times they'll base on what, you know, what they order based on what they have or based on what they think they can get rid of. Towards the end of your hockey season, getting into the spring, start looking for those sales online or your local store. I know we did, but I know a lot of other places do that as well. They want to get rid of the old stock and bring in to get ready to bring in a new stuff, which usually comes in around July or August. So depending on when you actually order in July, August, or September, sometimes even October. So yeah, I think that's a great point. So just look for those sales throughout the summer, starting in the spring, and right before they get their new stock in, maybe in August or September. I'm speaking from experience.
Yeah. And you know, you bring up a good point, which is your local hockey store. Your local hockey store purchasing patterns might be different than the big box store like Pure Hockey or Ice Warehouse. Those huge box stores have deals with stick manufacturers that the day they get introduced, they're dropping them on those guys, and they do even do pre-orders. So you have to decide whether you want to, you know, buy a stick locally or if you want to buy online and you're okay with that. So you kind of have to balance both if you really want to get the best deal. So a couple more of these are actually online things. You're not going to be able to probably get these at your local store, but Sideline Swap, it's like the eBay for sports equipment. You can find some gently used things. You can even find new stuff. Somebody who bought a 3-pack of some stick and they just don't like the curve or the flex or whatever. You can actually get some really good deals on Sideline Swap. Pro Stock Hockey is another good one. If you really want to get a curve that Alex Ovechkin uses or Sidney Crosby uses, every so often they'll have one of those sticks that'll come in and you can get their actual stick. They aren't that cheap, but if you get their general pro stock models that come from like AHL teams, from ECHL teams, you can get pretty good deals on that. You can get about, you know, $200 stick for about $150. So another good one. Again, none of these are endorsing them. They're just places that in this case that I found are good is another good one is STX. They sell directly to their customer. They're a lacrosse company. They're trying to get into hockey, but they sell sticks directly. So they don't have to do the markup of selling through another individual. So, and sometimes you can get really good deals that they run 20, 30, even 40% off coupons from STX. So a couple more online stuff, All Black sticks, No Name sticks. You can go out there and Google, you know, all these different types of sticks. I think Twig and some other of these are basically no name brands. Some of them don't have any graphics on them. you can get a decent hockey stick for a lower price. Now, this will kind of switch gears a little bit, but there is a company called Integral Hockey, I-N-T-E-G-R-A-L, and they have individual private dealers all across Canada and U.S. They will actually fix broken sticks and or sell sticks that they have fixed. Do some research if you're interested in it. They have a proprietary technology that's not like a big plug that they just put in, but it actually helps you keep the same flex and everything like that. And if you're a family who has four or five people playing hockey and you're breaking sticks all the time, you might want to look in to see if you have an Integral Hockey representative somewhere near you. I haven't used any, but I have seen some good reviews on them as well. So Rick, Rob, any other ways you can think of for folks to help keep their stick costs down?
Well, I'm willing to sell my gently used stick. And the one guarantee I will make is there's a lot of goals left in all of my sticks.
None of the goals have been used.
Very few goals have been used out of my stick. So plenty left.
You only get goals based on the price. So if you have a $300 stick, there's way more goals in it.
Oh, is that
$40.
It?
I think that's what it is. That's
well, what my stick's retail price are like $180 or something. It's not like it's
I'll just say this. If you are buying online and I say this for any piece of equipment, try to Google or read reviews or Yelp or whatever to make sure that you're buying from a reputable vendor. We know some of them are for sure, but there could be some out there. So just try to do a little bit of research that way. Check out the reviews and their shipping, how it was shipped, make sure it arrived in good shape, that type of thing. So, that's a risk we all take buying online. So I would just encourage, if you're going to do that, to make sure you do a little research.
And I would say of all the ones I listed specifically, Sideline Swap probably falls the most into that category. You're talking about dealing with an individual. It'd be like me going to Rick and not knowing him, but he had listed a stick online. So, you know, it's like eBay. So, you do take some risk with that. So awesome. Well, that kind of wraps up our discussion on sticks. If this generated any questions, please reach out. If we screwed anything up again, please reach out and let us know what that might've been. And we'd be happy to clarify it or fix it. Thanks, Rick. Thanks, Coach Rob. And thanks everyone for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed our episode and are motivated to learn more about how you can improve as an adult hockey player. If you have show ideas, disagree with anything we said, or just want to say hi, please contact us. Simply email us at info@weekendwarriorshockey.com or leave a message on Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy Facebook page, Twitter, or Instagram sites if that's easier. We love to read responses and listener questions on the air. Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you may get your podcasts. Share us with a friend or two or three and leave a 5-star Apple Podcast review if you enjoyed the show and want to learn more. Until next time, keep working hard and improving each time you're out on the ice.